Praise the Lord. John chapter 12, if you have your Bibles this morning. You know, Wednesday night, we were reading from Luke 19 about when Jesus came riding into Jerusalem and how a multitude threw down their garments and they cut down palm branches and began rejoicing and praising God with a loud voice for all the mighty works that they had seen. They were praising God. And we start getting into, you know, a thing on praise, and it God just took over. We had a great time in the Lord Wednesday night. So if you get back out on a Wednesday night, because you never know when God's going to do something. He may do it this morning before we get out of here. Because I tell you what, I have felt God's presence in this place and getting in a greater way. I might want to see that. See God move in a greater way. But listen to what it says here. In Jesus, 6 days before the Passover, came to Bethany. This is kind of where it leads up to what we were talking about Wednesday night. And he came to Bethany where Lazarus, which had been dead, whom he raised from the dead. In the previous chapter before this is when Jesus came down and raised Lazarus from the dead. After he had been in there for 4 days, and he comes in and listen what it says here. And they made him a supper, and Martha served, but Lazarus was one of them that sat at the table with him. Then took Mary a pound of ointment of spikenard, very costly, and anointed the feet of Jesus, and wiped his feet with her hair, and the house was filled with the odor of the ointment. And then thus saith one of the disciples, Judas Iscariot, we know him, Simon's son, which would betray him, why was not this ointment sold for 300 pence and given to the poor? And he said this, not that he cared for the poor, but that he was a thief and had the bag and bare that which was in. And Jesus said unto him, let her alone. Against the day of my bearing has she kept this. For the poor you always have with me, but me you have not always. And much people, the Jews, therefore knew that he was there. And they came not for Jesus' sake only, but that they might see Lazarus also, whom he had raised from the dead. But the chief priests consulted that they might put Lazarus also to death. But because of this, that by reason of him, many of the Jews went away and believed on Jesus. And on the next day, much people that were come to the feast, when they heard that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem, took down branches of palm trees, went forth to meet him, crying, Hosanna, blessed is the King that comes in the name of the Lord. Father, we just thank you this morning, God. You are good to us as always. Lord, we thank you for everyone, God, that's gathered themselves together, Lord, in this place this morning, Lord. And we just know, Lord, that your presence is in this place, Lord. We're just singing about the goodness of God. And Father, goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. God, we claim that this morning. Lord, just be with us right now, God, in this service. Let your presence just fill this place. Lord, do something before we leave here today. God, open up the word to us and give us relevant revelation. Lord, you've been speaking to us about producing, Lord, and this is what you're wanting to do. Lord, you're just adding ingredients to us, Lord, so that we might go forward and be more productive. That's what we want, Lord. We'll go claim that together, revelation in Jesus' name. This is the last week before his crucifixion. And almost one half of John's gospel is dedicated to this last week. Just think about that. Half of the book of John is dedicated to the last week of Jesus' life. Matthew used 33% of his gospel to cover that week. Mark was 40% and Luke was over 25% on just seven days of Christ's entire life. Think about that. And this is something, so I believe that they're trying to make us understand, church. This is something that we need to focus on. Focus on, church, how that Christ loved us and came and gave his life for us and the power of the cross. And it goes here in verse 2, and they made him a supper. This is kind of a celebration for Jesus coming and raising Lazarus from the dead. They're getting together and they're bringing him into the house and they're making him this dinner. And knowing, you know, that he only had a week before the cross. See, Jesus knew his purpose and he knew God's plan for his life and knows here that he only had a week left in his life. You know, most people would not feel like socializing if they had something like this that they were facing. You know, a lot of times, if you know you've got a big week ahead of you, like the past week, you know, that I just had, You know, it's kind of something that you were just, you're looking ahead at that and thinking, God, you're going to have to get me through this. Well, this is kind of the thing here. And Jesus is gone, though. He comes into the house, and they're sitting down, and they're celebrating what he has done for them, that wonderful miracle work and power. And Mary, in the midst of supper, brings an alabaster box of oil, very costly. They said it was about a year's wage. And she comes in, and she opens up the box and anoints the feet of Jesus. And I read something here, church, that spices in these ointments were often used in those days as an investment. So if you think about this, church, here she goes, and she's investing in Jesus. Boy, you know, people today, instead of investing in the stock market or the secular corporations or investing in a retirement plan, why don't we just go and invest in Jesus? You know, what do you say, Pastor? Why don't we invest our time in him? Come on, somebody. You know, we talked about this here. You know, my dad used to do a thing where he would get up and he would have the people in the congregation get a piece of paper and write down, you know, how much time that they thought their pastor should spend during the week, you know, visiting the sick and going and praying and fasting and in his word. And by the time that they were done, they would have calculated a whole lot more hours than really what were in the week. Well, you know what? This is something that we ought to understand. I believe that the Lord, church, wants us to invest ourselves in him. Doesn't want us, church, spending and investing our time or our ourselves. You know, if we will invest our time and our energy in our thoughts and even our finances, church, in God, you know what? I believe that God, according to his word, has guaranteed us a return. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Goes, church, and she goes, and she's coming in, and she's pouring out to her, herself. And she goes, and she pours out on his feet, and she begins to wipe his feet with her hair. Well, you know, Jewish women never untied their hair in public. This was something for Mary to do. She's going, church, you know, it's one thing to anoint his feet, but to wipe them off with his hair, her hair? Boy, think about that. This is somebody here that, you know, basically Mary's come in and she's let her hair down. She's going in church and she's surrendering totally to God. You know, that's what we want. You know, that's what I believe God wants when we come into the house of the Lord, don't you? We coming into his presence here, church, and I believe that God wants us to come and surrender totally to him. Forget about everything else, all the plans that you have, you know, after service or for the rest of the week or all the things that you, you know, are dreading to do or all the things that you're looking forward to, and just concentrate on him. You know, some people, they act like it's a chore to invest an hour and a half a week coming to the house of God. You know, they wake up like that in the morning. Oh, God, it's Sunday. We got to go to church. We got to get the kids up. We got to get moving. We got to go to church. And here's somebody, church, it's not a chore to her. This is somebody that this is an honor. This is a blessing to her to take something that she has put away, that she has placed aside for something, a special occasion. Well, I don't think it can get any more special than the presence of God being in your house. Ooh, somebody help me. That ought to cause somebody, you know, to break out with everything that you got. I've been saving something for something special, and it don't get no more special than this. Anybody feel that way? Oh, I've been saving. Oh, Pastor, I've been storing up a big praise. I've been storing up some. I've been waiting all week to just get into the house of the Lord. I love it when people talk like that. Amen. I come in this morning and Jay's saying, it seems like it's been so long since we've been here. Boy, that's a good attitude, you know, that you just can't wait to get back to the. Amen. I think God's trying to do something here. He's trying to stir that same kind of thing up. Can God get us there? Get me to the place, church, that I can't wait to pray, that I can't wait to open my Bible. I can't wait for the sun to come up in the morning so I can start praising him again. Oh, come on, somebody. This is my opportunity. He's here. And he came. Why? Because they opened up their house for him. They made him a dinner. They made him set aside a specific time just for him. Amen. Boy, that's what we want, isn't it? You go, you do something like that to God. Oh, Lord, I'm going to take, and I'm going to set aside a certain time every day, not every week, every day. Come on. I'm going to set a certain, that's how you do it. And let me tell you something, church, if you will do that, he will meet you there. This is the way it is, church. No matter what, you know, you all going on around the world, you ever come to God and think, Lord, I'm coming to you with such a little thing. I got a little pain in my little toe. And I know you got big things all over the world. There's crisis all over the place. But yet I believe that with my faith, church, that God is concerned about my little toe. Anybody got that kind of faith that you can come to God with something like that? Here he is, church, and in the Bible said that she comes in and she, it don't matter what anybody think, I'm just going to start pouring out on him. Yes. And suddenly the Bible says that the house was filled with the odor of the ointment. Now, when John's writing this, he's thinking back. So he's recalling how Mary's essential oils made the whole house smell good. Man, I can remember when Jesus came to the house. They made dinner for him, and they came into the house. He's writing this down. Oh, I got to write this down. How good that the house smelled. Anybody ever come across somebody that, you know, you remember how good they smelled? Anybody ever come across somebody you remember how rotten they smelled? I'm going to stay away from them. He's thinking about this, church. This shows our church. I start thinking about, you know, how the whole house was just filled with that wonderful odor and that wonderful smell and that wonderful. This shows, church, how our praise and our worship can affect our spiritual atmosphere. Somebody listen to this. Listen to what it says here in 2 Chronicles. It was talking about when Solomon built the temple and they all came for the dedication. And it came to pass as the trumpeters and the singers were come as one to make one sound. They're one mind, one sound. And heard in praising and thanking the Lord that when they lifted up their voice with the trumpets and the cymbals and the instruments of music, and they praised the Lord, saying, for he is good and his mercy endures forever. Then the house was filled with a cloud, even the house of the Lord, so that the priests could not stand to minister by reason of the cloud, for the glory of the Lord had filled the house of God. Anybody listening to this? Made the whole house better. You know, as beautiful as Solomon's temple was, and it was grand, there was nothing like it. Even when they rebuilt the temple, it was nothing in comparison to what. But you know what, church? There was something about it. As beautiful and as grand as it was, the day that they come in there and they start worshiping and praising God, and suddenly the glory of the Lord filled the house. It did something to the point that even the priest couldn't even stand to minister. The power of God was in that place in such a way. Anybody know what I'm talking about? It made the whole place better. But yet here's somebody like Judas, if you remember what we just read, here's somebody like Judas, one of his disciples who didn't even appreciate it. Didn't appreciate, you know, how that she had gone and worshiped the Lord and how she had given to God in such a way that the whole house smelled better. It's somebody who doesn't, how many today fail to appreciate what the Lord has done? See, that's what Mary's doing. Mary's appreciating. That word worship means worth-ship, the value of something. You know, what price, and I've started thinking about this. Here's Mary. She comes in, she's got something that she's been saving for a special occasion. What price, church, do you put on the miracle working power of God? Somebody listen to me. Because she just experienced it. She had gone and she had been crying for 4 days. Her brother was dead and already placed in the tomb. And Jesus comes along, church, and commands them to roll the stone away and speaks his name and tells them to come forth. That's the kind of thing, church, that you might want to praise and worship God over. This is why, church, you know, Judas don't get it. You know, he didn't expect, that's not his brother in there. You know, that he doesn't understand it. This, you know what, Church of America, working power of God, is priceless. You can't put a price on that. The lack of real praise or real worship today is due to a lack of appreciation for what the Lord has done. Anybody listening to me? Here's one of his disciples who's seen miracles, who knows what he's able to do, but yet he said, we'd have been better off if we would have taken that oil and sold it and gave the money to the poor. No value for what the Lord had just done. Just think about this. He said, it's something. She goes and she's grateful. She's thankful because God had just affected her whole family. And not only church that he brought her, but they just saw one of the greatest miracles ever recorded in the Bible. Seeing somebody that had been dead for 4 days come up out of there and live again. It's something, church. You know what? And here's Judas, and he's in the, it'd been better if we'd just taken that and sold it and give it to the, boy, you can do that any day. You can go and you can take an offering any day and give to the poor, but how many times are you going to stand at somebody's tomb and watch them come out of there? Come on, somebody. That might be a little bit more of value. Jesus said, you know what? He didn't say this because he cared for the poor, but because he was a thief and had the bag and bear what was put in. Luke chapter 8 tells us that there were generous women who supported Christ's ministry. And Judas was the one that managed the money. And you got to wonder, why Judas? Of all people, what? That's like putting the fox in charge of the hen house. Why him? Well, I believe, church, that God gives us opportunity, even though he knows what we're going to do with it at times. He gives us an opportunity. And this word, I was reading this, and it says, but because he was a thief and had the bag and bear what was put in, that word bear in the Greek is the word bastazo, which means to carry off or to make off with. The verb here, bear, shows habitually carrying off or making off with. So when the word says that he was a thief, what he was doing, he was actually stealing, embezzling, you know, because he was robbing God, taking money that they had, you know, that had been given to, you know, to be a blessing to his ministry, and he was actually continuing to embezzle that money. Boy, you stop and think about this. You know, I read something in Malachi 3:8. I don't know if you ever read this. It says, will a man rob God? Hello? Will a man rob God? Yet you have robbed me of tithes and offering. Quiet in here. Well, just think about that. You get to a point, church, that you know you're not giving like you should be giving. God considers that a highway robbery. I believe that there's some people that will rob God of the praise that he deserves. Somebody know what I mean. How many times, church, we've talked about this the other night, and God moved in a wonderful way. But we get to the point, church, that the enemy will come in, and he will bring all kind of manner of things against you. You know, just because people walk with the Lord and talk with the Lord, it doesn't make them a worshiper. Right. Judas is a perfect example. You know, there are some people that are saved, some people that are in church all the time, some people that are going to heaven, but that does not make them a worshiper. A worshiper is somebody who's going to church is productive. If you can't submit to God's will, if you're not willing to give, if you're not willing to love, if you can't love your neighbor whom you have seen, how can you love the Father whom you haven't? Quiet in here. If you can't go, church, and praise him, even when it's a little difficult. Somebody listening to me. Anybody ever go through a difficult time and still able to praise God? Listening to me. Boy, I don't know about anybody else. Sometimes, you know, you go through those times. You have your weeks like that. That you're looking for something. And isn't that funny, church? That's when God would speak. You know, here I am. I was looking. I was dreading last week, spring break, because I knew what it was going to entail. But isn't it funny, church, that that would be the week that God would start speaking to me about praise? Don't you find, isn't that something how God works? That I come in here, and that's when God spoke to me here just last week of all weeks. The week that I was dreading, the week, you know, that I knew I was going to have my grandkids, you know, it felt like 24-7 over and over and over. Groundhog Day. And but you know what? And of all weeks for God to speak to me, I come in here on a Monday or Tuesday, and God spoke to me. It was Tuesday. And God spoke to me, and he said, as I started praising him, as I usually do, he said, "Can you praise me for the rest of your hour?" Come on, somebody. You want me to praise you for an hour? So I first thought, you know, you're going around the church, you know, praising God, praising God, praising God, praising God. No. All of a sudden, I start going back over my life. And I start seeing all the things that God had done for me. Thank you, Lord, that you saved me when I was 8 years old. Thank you, Lord, that you knew me before I ever knew you. Thank you, Lord, that you took care of me down through the years, that you protected me, that you kept me going. But thank you, Lord, for my wife and my sons and my grandchildren and the... for the call that you placed on my life. That was one of the fastest, easiest times of prayer that I've ever had. My hour went faster. I was praying for over an hour and just worshiping God. Jesus said in John chapter 4, the true worshiper shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. And it says that the Father seeketh such to worship him. Those that will seek God and worship God and praise God, you know, from here, not from here. Bible said in the Old Testament, begin to prophesy, and they said, you know, their lips praise me, but their hearts are far from me. Yes. Well, see, God sees the heart, church. Come on, somebody, help me. That's how I chose David from the sheepfold, wasn't it? Because he said, don't look at it like that. He said, God looks upon the heart. Oh, my goodness. So you know what, church? God sees us. And this is why that our praise and our worship, the true worshiper comes, it comes from here. Father, I thank you, Lord, for every little thing that you have done for me. This is not just a vain repetition. This is something here, church. This is heartfelt. This is within the spirit of God moving in my life and beginning to reveal all the great things that God has done for me and the things that God yet has for me. The Bible said the Spirit reveals those things, so the Spirit will reveal those things and bring you into a place of worship, even though we're things you ain't got yet. That's how you do that. That's how you're able to praise God for things that you don't even have yet, is that the Spirit will begin to reassure you that those things are coming your way. Those who are true worshipers worship Him in spirit and in truth. Oh, my goodness. Oh, let me reassure you. It's coming, David Gale. I got four David Gales, so I got to make sure I got the right one. Spirit and truth. What's that? That truth. That's the Word of God, isn't it? Yes. So you know what, church? It's not just one of those things. It's not just a personal thing that you've done for just me that I'm praising you for. Lord, I open up the Word of God, and I begin to understand, Lord, that your mercy endures forever. Lord, I begin to understand that you are no respecter of person. Lord, I begin to understand, church, that you, Lord, that you will go with me to the end, even through the valley of the shadow. Somebody going to praise him for those kind of things? Jesus said, he looks at what they're doing to her, and he said, leave her alone. She's doing this for my death and my burial. In Mark chapter 14, Jesus went on to say that wherever the gospel is preached in the whole world, what this woman has done is going to be told as a memorial for her. So just think about that. Mary's worship, that thing, church, was so powerful. Her worship was so powerful and so productive, it would be remembered the world over. We're still talking about it today, right here in 2023. Oh, that we might come to the same place of worship as Mary did. You know what it is, church? It's being at the feet of Jesus. It's listening and learning and loving and surrendering in worship. Do we know, church? Listen to this. Do you know that the outpouring starts with you? Somebody listening to me. I said, you know what? We've been, how many's praying and believing for an outpouring of the Spirit of God? Anybody want that with me? We won't see that, the outpouring of the Spirit of God in this place. But do we understand, church, that the outpouring starts with us? Here she go, church. She's the one that invited him for dinner. She's the one that's going and taking that what she's got set aside for something special. I'm going to bring it in there, and I'm going to start right now the outpouring. And this is what it is, church. When we get to the point that we are hungry and we are thirsty and we are seeking him, the Father seeketh those that will seek him like that. He seeketh such that will seek him and worship him in spirit and truth. When we get to that point, church, that we are the ones that start the outpouring. Then what's the problem? Why aren't we seeing what we want to see from God? Well, we said Wednesday night, church, that Satan will do everything he can to stop you. We just read it here in verse 9, that much of the Jews therefore knew that they came not just to see Jesus only, but that they might see Lazarus, whom he had raised from the dead. And the chief priests consulted that they might put Lazarus also to death. Can you believe this? There were those that actually wanted to put a stop to that. Because they realized that they didn't just come to that dinner to see Jesus. They came to see what he had done. Come on, somebody. You know what? If God starts moving in this church like we won't see him moving, I believe people, church, will come to see what he's doing. Somebody help me. That's what they're there for. They didn't just come to see Jesus. They came. Oh, that would be easy, church, you know, to get people in. They were just coming for his presence. Then the house would be full. Come on, somebody help me. You wouldn't have enough room if people were just hungry for his presence. But when they actually find out what God is actually doing. How many know we live in a world today that they got to see it to believe it, a lot of them. They got to come at the church. They got to hear about it. They got to know. They got to see something's going on down there. This is what we're talking about, isn't it? That we know, church, that the presence of the Lord is here. But when God begins to manifest himself in a way that people begin to hear about it and they want to come and see for themselves, this is what was happening right here. And they, you know what? Of course the enemy don't want that to happen. He don't want you to receive your blessing. He don't want you to get your healing. He don't want you to get your miracle because it might be powerful. It might be productive. It might begin to get the attention of your family. Uh-huh. Amen. God changed old Uncle Joe to the degree that everybody in the family saw that. Well, devil don't want that. But I'm thinking they're coming down here and they want to put him back to death. He died and he was risen again by the power of God, and they want to do away with that. Isn't that just the way it is? Amen. You know, there are some churches that want to do away with the power of God. They want to do away with the Holy Spirit. Yes. Quiet in here. Yes. They want to do away with the, you know, faith for healings and miracles. They just want you to come in and just sit down for a few minutes and just, you know, hear a little story, you know, the power of positive thinking. Their unbelief is exhibited here to the most extreme. How blind of these men not to perceive that if God had raised Lazarus after 4 days, that he could raise him 1,000 times. Yes. Somebody know what I'm talking about. You go ahead and you try knocking him off again. Somebody listen to me. Because the same power of God. What are you saying, Pastor? Well, God, I believe God would like to get it across to us that if he did it once, he can do it again. Amen. Somebody listening to this? God, get it, church, how productive we could be if we had that mentality. If God's people, if you sitting here this morning, church, have seen God do wonderful things in the past, do healing and miracles, if we could get that same kind of mentality, wait a minute, if God did it then, he can do it again. If God did it in the 1920s, he can do it in the 2020s. If he did it back in the 40s and the 50s, he can do it now. He hasn't changed. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. What's wrong with God's people? Where's my faith, church? Church, I've seen God all down through the 37 years I've been preaching myself, do one great thing after another. And if I get to a point that I've, God, you did that, but I'm having troubles with this. Man. Let me read verse 12 here. On the next day, much people that came to the feast, when they heard that Jesus come to Jerusalem, they took down the branches. This is how it all took place. You know, the feast of the Passover, the Jewish law required a Passover lamb for every family. And they would have to take that lamb, and they would have to bring that lamb into their house and live with them for 3 days so that he could become part of them. Then they would go out and they would take that lamb. This is what the Passover was all about. It was remembering how he brought them out of Egypt's bondage. Josephus said that 1 year a census was taken, and it showed that 256,500 lambs were actually slain that week. 250,000 lambs. Think about that. And here they come, church, and they get down, they're cutting down the palm branches, they're throwing their clothes down before you. They're worshiping them. Why? They heard Jesus was coming. They heard Jesus was coming. The people, therefore, that was with him when he called Lazarus out of the grave and raised him from the dead bear record. And for this cause, the people also met him, for that they heard that he had done this miracle. This is one of the main reasons they're worshiping, church. Those who had seen that he had raised Lazarus. Did you hear this? Right. There were those that came because they'd seen it happen. This is what we're talking about the other night. They came and because of all the things that they had seen God do. There were those that came. This is why that they came and worshiped him. Hosanna. And then there was another group who came and started doing the same thing because they heard what he had done. Did you get this? See, church, we got to understand the true worshiper. I haven't seen it, but I heard it. And I want it. Somebody listen to me. I haven't seen it, but I heard it. Faith comes by what? By hearing. All of a sudden, church, you get the word of God in you. Faith comes by hearing the word of God. And when you, all of a sudden, that begins to create faith in you. And even though I haven't seen it myself, I heard it, and I believe it, and I want it. Come on, somebody know what I'm talking about. When you can get to that point that you can praise God, because even though I haven't seen it, but I heard it and I believe it and I want it, somebody say that's a true worshiper. That's the kind of church that God is looking for. That's the kind that I believe that the Father is searching for. There were those that came, church, because they had seen that miracle. And then there were those that just came and began worshiping it just because they heard about it. Well, there's power in that if we can just grasp it. Church, I've heard about all the things that God is able to do, what he's done for us, what Jesus accomplished for us. By his stripes, we are healed. What he accomplished for us, church, on that old rugged cross. We've heard about it. We know it. And we should believe it. And we should desire, church, and we should be thanking God for it. God, I thank you that you are my healer. Thank you, Lord, that you are my provider. You see exactly what my need is, and you promised in your word that you would supply all my needs according to your riches and glory. I praise you for that, Lord. Haven't even seen it happen yet, but I heard what you're able to do, and I'm going to worship you. I know, Lord, what you've done for... Verse 19. I got to get through this. Verse 19. Therefore, the Pharisees said among themselves, perceive how you prevail nothing. Behold, the world is going after him. How frustrating it is to Satan when he cannot prevail. Isn't that a good feeling? When we decide to worship God no matter what. Jesus goes and just a few days is in the garden. And he's praying to the point, the Bible said he was in such agony that the sweat fell from him as blood. This is somebody that was going through something. But he comes across to the point, church, nevertheless, Father, he said, if it's your will, let this cup pass from me. But nevertheless, not my will, but your will be done. Yes, yes. Oh, how Satan is so frustrated, church, when he fails to prevail. Somebody with me on this? Does that feel good to anybody? You see, here's a great way, church. Wouldn't you just love to punch the devil in the nose? Anybody ever get to that place? I just love to get my hands on him. Get my hands around his neck. Remember, Todd's church, I've said that. I've said it in my prayer. Oh, devil, I'd love to get my hands around your neck. But you, church, this is the most wonderful. This is the best way to get back at him. It's when he fails to prevail. When we decide, church, that no matter what I'm going through, I've decided to worship God anyways. I'm going to praise him anyhow. Even when everything is coming against me, when it feels like, church, as the devil's coming against me, coming and going, I'm going to worship God anyways. I'm going to church anyways. I'm going to praise him anyways. I'm going to lift up a shout anyways. I'm going to give in an offering anyways. I might be down to my last dime if my bills are this high, but I'm going to worship God in my finances anyhow, devil. Eat that. Yeah. Amen. Woo. You got to watch this. This is going on YouTube, you know. You're going to let somebody think they go, that church down there is... But you know something? Why is this so important, Pastor? Because there's going to be those. Listen to what it says in verse 42. Nevertheless, among the chief rulers also many believed on him. But because of the Pharisees, they did not confess him, lest they should be put out of the synagogue. They believed, but they wouldn't confess him. For they loved the praise of men more than the praise of God. I don't want to put anything above my praise for him. Anybody listen to me? If you're allowing the devil to rob you, Jesus said in Matthew 10, whosoever shall confess me before men, him will I also confess before my Father, which is in heaven. Because they love the praise of men more than the praise of God. Let me tell you something, church. Some put a cap on their investing. I got a limit to as far as I'm willing to go. But Mark 14 says that when Mary came and began to pour out, before she opened it, the Bible said that she broke the box and began to pour out the ointment. Broke the box. That means there ain't no going back. She didn't take the cap off. She broke the thing. I'm not going to take the cap off and then put it back on. There's a limit to what I'm willing to give you. No, the vessel is willing to be broken. There's no limit. I'm taking off all limits to what she was willing to give him. Come on, somebody help me. You know, we often limit God, what God is able to do in our life. But sitting here this morning, I want you to understand, as we close, that if we can fill this house with our praise, he will fill this house with his glory. Somebody listen to this. I've read it to you in 2 Chronicles. If we can fill this house with our praise, He will fill this house with his glory. Anybody want to see that? Lord, I want to see your glory. That's what Moses said. Lord, I want to see your glory. I want to see your glory. I want to see you face to face. And God said, I'll put you in the cleft of the rock, and you can see me as I'm passing by. What's that mean? You see everything that I have done. Somebody know what I'm talking about this morning. Get in the place of church that we can praise him, and I believe that God is ready to do something in this place today. And do you know what it is, church? That's being productive. That's preparing people for the coming of the Lord.